At last he came back to where his men were standing. He took off his hat, ran his hand through the bristles of his crew cut, then put the hat back on, strapped in the back, as per summer regulations. In winter, the strap went under the point of the chin. That was the tradition. As in any organization that's been around for a long time, there was a lot of tradition in the PSP. Until 1962, for instance, troopers needed permission from the sergeant commanding to get married. And the SCs used that power to weed out any number of rookies and young troopers they felt were unqualified for the job. "No hum," Tony said. "Also, I'd say the temperature inside is about what it should be, maybe a little cooler than the outside air, but..." He shrugged. Curtis flushed a deep pink. "Sarge, I swear..."
"I'm not doubting you," Tony said. "If you say the thing was humming like a tuning fork, I believe you. Where would you say this humming sound was coming from, the engine?"
Curtis shook his head.
"The trunk area."
Another shake.
"Underneath?"
A third shake of the head, and now instead of pink, Kurt's cheeks, neck, and forehead were bright red.
"Where, then?"
"Out of the air," Kurt said reluctantly. "I know it sounds crazy, but, yeah, right out of the air." He looked around as if expecting the others to laugh. None of them did. Just about then, Orville Garrett joined the group. He'd been over by the county line at a building site where several pieces of heavy equipment had been vandalized the night before. Ambling along behind him came Mr. Dillon, the Troop D mascot. He was a German Shepherd with maybe a little taste of collie thrown in. Orville and Huddy Royer had found him as a pup, paddling around in the shallow well of an abandoned farm out on Sawmill Road. The dog might have fallen in by accident, but probably not. Mr. D was no canine specialty dog, but only because no one had trained him that way. He was plenty smart and protective as well. If a bad boy raised his voice and started shaking his finger at a Troop D guy while Mr. Dillon was around, that fellow ran the risk of picking his nose with the tip of a pencil for the rest of his life.
"What's doing, boys?"
Orville asked. But before anyone could answer him, Mr. Dillon began to howl. Sandy Dearborn, who happened to be standing right beside the dog, had never heard anything quite like that howl in his entire life. Mr. D backed up a pace and then hunkered, facing the Buick. His head was up and his hind quarters were down. He looked like a dog does when he's taking a crap, except for his fur. It was bushed out all over his body, every hair standing on end. Sandy's skin went cold.
"Holy God, what's wrong with him?"
Phil asked in a low, awed voice. And then Mr. D let loose with another long, quavering howl. He took three or four stalk steps toward the Buick, never coming out of that hunched over, cramped up, taking a crap stoop, all the time with his muzzle pointing at the sky. It was awful to watch. He made two or three more of those awkward movements, then dropped flat on the macadam, panting and whining.
"What the hell?"
Orv said. "Put a leash on him," Tony said. "Get him inside." Orv did as Tony said, actually running to get Mr. Dillon's leash. Phil Candleton, who had always been especially partial to the dog, went with Orv once the leash was on him, walking next to Mr. D, occasionally bending down to give him a comforting stroke and a soothing word. Later, he told the others that the dog had been shivering all over. Nobody said anything. Nobody had to. They were all thinking the same thing, that Mr. Dillon had pretty well proved Kurt's point. The ground wasn't shaking, and Tony hadn't heard anything when he stuck his head in through the Buick's window. But something was wrong with it, all right. A lot more wrong than the size of its steering wheel or its strange, notchless ignition key. Something worse.